Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Yesterday, Governor Baker laid out his four-part plan for gradually reopening the Massachusetts economy. Construction sites, factories, religious institutions, those are able to open immediately with new social distancing protocols. Then, next week on Memorial Day, hair salons, car washes, dentist offices, and some others will be able to reopen. We want to talk today with three different business owners, two of whom are preparing for Memorial Day. A hair salon who can resume full service then with caveats. A dental practice that has already been able to operate for emergencies but can now expand the practice. And then a restaurant that is still closed for dining in with limited guidance about when that's going to change and how. So listeners, we want to hear from you on this. What businesses are you wanting to return to, likely to return to, hesitant to return to, especially in this first phase of reopening? And if you are a business owner, how are you reacting to what you heard from the governor yesterday? Call us 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So let's start with Alex Collins, who is the owner of The Orange Chair, a salon in Bedford. Alex, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So Alex, how does it feel to be able to reopen next week?
It feels good. We've been patiently waiting for some clarity on when we would be able to open. There's a lot of work that had to go into preparing to safely reopen.
Can you tell me a little bit about that work, Alex? What kinds of precautions are you taking? And what you were planning for, does it match what the governor is requiring now that you've received the guidance yesterday?
Yeah, everything does match, pretty much. I've been following what other states have been requiring, so I've been preparing off of those. I figured our guidelines would be pretty similar, and they are. So luckily, my salon happened to be set up in a way that I didn't have to change too much. Our chairs are 6 feet apart. We're only going to have a limited number of stylists working at one time to really be able to maintain the social distancing for, you know, the first part of reopening. And there are a few other things that I'll have to work on. I need to put a barrier in between our hair sinks and a few other things that I'm still trying to figure out the best way to go about them.
Alex, what are you hearing from clients? Do you think lots of demand? Is everybody coming back? Or are people hesitant to come back? What do you think?
90% of people wanted our first available appointment. And then, you know, the other 10% definitely, they might fall into that high risk category that's being cautioned about going back out into the public so quickly. So people like that have been a little hesitant to book, and I completely understand, and I agree that they should also wait.
Listeners, what about you? Are you going to go back right away, get your hair cut? Are you going to get your dog groomed? Are you excited to go to the dentist? So, Alex, let me just put this out for listeners real quick. Let us know what you're going to do. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Alex, let's shift gears a little bit here. There has been some pushback to hair salons getting the green light while other industries are shuttered. Two things. One, Why this group in the first phase, Alex? And then the other question is, why in phase one when there is so much personal contact in a salon? So there are some hairdressers who will not reopen yet for this reason. What made you decide to reopen on the first day it's available to do that?
Well, a lot of it had to do with the financial hit that I took. We've been closed for 10 weeks. I wasn't prepared to close for 10 weeks. So I definitely need to get back and, you know, start generating revenue again. I think something we have working in our favor is hair salons should be a very sanitary place, regardless of what's happening now. A lot of this stuff is business as usual for us. In regards to sanitation and cleanliness. So I think that's a very positive thing that we have working in our favor right now.
Alex, we had a caller on our show yesterday, another small business owner, expressing real concern about how she is responsible for enforcement if, say, a customer comes in without a mask. So what about you? What if people show up in the salon without a mask or they don't keep their distance? How are you planning to handle that?
Well, you need to have a mask. You know, they're not my rules. It's the state's rules. And, you know, my business could be shut down if you don't comply with what they're asking. So, you know, we're just asking for everyone's cooperation. And if you, you know, if you don't want to cooperate or you, for what, if you can't, you know, then maybe it's not a good time for you to come in and get your hair cut.
Let me ask you one more thing, Alex, and then we're going to add another voice to this. You sent out a reopening email to clients, and at the end of it, you actually set some guidelines around what you called COVID talk. You know, customers should leave private feelings regarding the pandemic at the door. What do you mean by that, and what made you decide to set that boundary in advance with your customers?
Well, I think we've all been heavily affected by this, and in so many different ways, and I've heard all different opinions on what's happening and, you know, how we should go about reopening and all different subjects. And I just, you know, we just want to get back to work. We want to see people. We miss all of our clients. And it's tough when you work in a public place because, you know, everyone feels differently about it and has been affected differently. And I know that it's been a really hard couple of months for a lot of people. And I just don't want any, you know, bad feelings like going back in between clients and stylists. So I just want to keep it light and, you know, just get back to what we should be doing.
All right. Thanks for that, Alex. Let's take a call here. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. To join this conversation, we have Tanya on the line from Dorchester. Hi there, Tanya.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks. How about you?
I'm good.
So jump right in, Tanya. What's on your mind?
So I was just answering the question about do we jump back or do we wait? I think that we've come really far, and, you know, I can even feel the antsy feeling inside of getting out, but I think that we've done a really good job with waiting, and I think I would wait. I would wait because, you know, now everybody's at that point where their hair needs to be done, the eyebrows need to be done, the nails need to be done, all those things need to be done. But we've come this far, so waiting a little bit more would be wise. Whether we're at risk or not, we should wait. We definitely should wait.
Thanks for that call, Tanya. And Alex, I'm sure you hear both sides of this. What's your reaction to what Tanya's saying there?
I hear her. You know, if it were up to me, I don't know that I would be going back on Monday. It's a really hard place to be in for business owners. If I don't reopen, I could potentially have to close my doors. I will lose clients to other salons that are open. And, you know, we also run the risk of potentially getting infected or, you know, having other people infected. It's a really hard spot to be in.
Well, one of the things that we are hearing is that the guidelines for keeping people safe in the salons and in the other kinds of businesses, these safety checklists, are well based in science and research, and one can hope that those will help keep lots of workers safe as things begin to reopen. I'd like to add another voice here. Alex, stay with us. I want to add now Dr. Ancy Verdier, the founder of Worcester Periodontics, which is a dental practice. On Monday, under the governor's plans, his office can reopen for high priority preventive services at doctor and dental offices. Dr. Verdier has been doing emergency services only so far. And again, listeners, we want you to join this conversation. 800-423-8255. Dr. Verdier, how are you?
Good. Great. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you join us. What protocols do you have or will you have to have in place for the 25th? And do you feel ready for those?
I think as a dental office, we've been prepared. As you stated before, we were seeing emergencies as soon as the order was given to kind of close our doors. And I cannot tell you how many patients we've run into that have been so grateful for the services that we've been offering. Now, a lot of these folks have not been to the dentist for a long time or have not been able to get to their dentist. And so it was a very kind of strict criteria that we followed to treat these patients so they wouldn't end up in the emergency room. that was still our mission was still to be the frontline healthcare worker to help the hospitals so that they didn't get overburdened and to flatten the curve. So as dentists across the Commonwealth, I think we've, and across the nation, we've always taken the precautions when it comes to infection control. And I think we're well poised to begin expanding our services because I can tell you that there's a lot of patients that are on the verge. We call it emergent services that we're offering come Monday. But there's a lot of patients that you can think about even a simple cavity turning into something bigger and more serious as to sepsis and also can cause death, which we don't want to see. But I think that dental appointments are so, you know, oral health is such an important part of your overall health.
So let's grab a call here because there's a caller on the line who I think has a question that's relevant to both of you, actually. 1-800-423-8255 to join the conversation. We've got Sungum in Waltham. Go ahead.
Hi. Just a couple of things I have noticed. It may make sense now. People, when I go either buy a coffee or something, sometimes they have relationship with the clerk there or even with their hairdresser or a barber. They just like to have a, you know, talk and laugh and giggle. The unfortunate thing about that is even after they get their order, they just stand there and chit-chat. Which is fine. I mean, I got nothing against that. But given the situation that this conversation goes for a very long time, it makes people nervous because they are laughing and, you know, talking
so
really loud.
Let me just ask you to put that in the form of a question for our guests. What's your question, Sungum?
Well, is there, you know, we also need to bring this to the table, basically, you know, people should start, you know, talking less and less, get their things done, take your order and just leave.
That's a great point. Thanks for that call. I'm going to take that back to our guests to give them both a chance to react because both of you work in fields where there's a lot of close physical proximity with your patients or customers. What's your reaction to what he just had to say? Dr. Verdi, are you on that?
So what I'll tell you, listen, I think whether you're, you know, in the business of hair or you're working in somebody's mouth, it's still a relationship business, right? So I think that there's something that's lost when we're gowned up in masks and wearing, you know, PPEs, we call them. So there's some of that that is lost, right? And so now we had to make some accommodations. Before, we used to have patients that would sit in our waiting room and we would be able to go get them. Now we have them letting us know before they come in. We're taking the temperatures. We're doing all these different things where we're limiting the amount of traffic that comes through our offices, right? So there's something that's lost in that relationship. But I don't feel that even though that we're treating the patients or treating our customers, that you know there has to be long. We have to be more efficient with our time, but we could still do the right thing for people.
And actually, I have a caller for Alex in just a minute. But before I go to that, so Alex, please bear with me for a second. Doctor, higher standard for PPE at a dentist's office. Do you feel you're going to have access to the PPE you need to expand your client base starting next Monday? Dr. Verdier?
Great question. I think that, you know, I think that's something that's been hounding not only community health centers and hospitals, but it also comes down to the dentist office too. Not every office is prepared. We're a periodontal office, so it's a surgical practice. So we've had those in place. And I think that our dental society has done a good job about helping members get the necessary PPEs in place and gearing us up so that we can see patients. I'm not saying that every dentist will have that available, but I think that, you know, closing down a majority of dental practices, right, and only leaving a couple of them open just to emergencies was setting us back, you know, quite a bit. So now that dentist office can start to treat patients, we're going to start slowly getting them back to the oral health that they need to be. They're not going to be exactly there, but I think that certain offices are going to be able to do that.
All right, great. Let's take one more call here. We've got Julie from Jamaica Plain. Julie, you go ahead.
Hi, I'm Julie from Jamaica Plain. I'm just calling in as a salon owner, concerned about
not being able to follow the safety guidelines. As a hair
what concerns
cutter.
You, Julie?
I'm sorry?
What concerns you specifically?
The thing that concerns me about not being able to follow the safety guidelines and being in phase one is I'm not able to give a proper haircut wearing gloves, which are required in the safety guidelines. So that's probably my biggest concern, is not being able to follow that specific guideline along with blow dries. I know that blow dries are allowed, but in my salon, we are not going to be blow drying our clients, which it won't allow us to give the proper service, the proper quality of service, yet still needing to maintain the cost of our service in order to survive the industry.
So, Julie, I want to take it back from you there. I'm really glad that you called, and I want to give Alex Collins a chance to react to that. Alex, please go ahead.
I get it. These are all thoughts that I had after reading through the guidelines yesterday. My salon, I decided we're not going to be offering blow dries until further notice. I think it was a tough decision to make. I sort of wish the state wasn't allowing blow dries. I don't think that it's safe to be circulating the air like that. I think we're just going to have to do our best. It's going to be a new learning curve. It's going to be a new normal for us, and we're just going to have to do our best to give our best services and adjust. Other than that, there's not much else we can do.
All right. And that's Alex Collins, the owner of the Orange Chair in Bedford. Alex, I appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
And Dr. Ancy Verdier, the founder of Worcester Periodontics, a dental practice in Worcester. I really appreciate you joining us too, and I wish you best of luck next week.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
Thanks. And finally, let's turn to Bert Berard, the owner of Bert's Breakfast and Lunch in Uxbridge, who has got different news on Monday. Bert, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
So, Bert, were you disappointed that you didn't find out on Monday that you could, in this first round in phase one, open for in-restaurant dining?
Inside restaurant, I wasn't too upset about that. It was outdoor dining. I thought that he would let us do that because New Hampshire let it, Rhode Island let it, but Governor didn't let us do the outdoor seating.
And what difference would it make to your business, Bert, if you could do that outdoor seating?
I think it would attract a lot more people. You know, when you eat breakfast, especially breakfast, is like you want to eat it right away when it's nice and warm. We give a package. It's all in to-go boxes. Sit on a picnic table, eat it, throw it in the trash, go on your way.
Now, the governor didn't provide any guidelines on what restaurants will have to do to reopen in phase two. And of course, we're not sure yet when phase two will be, because each phase is a minimum of 3 weeks, kind of depending on how the public health environment looks during each phase. So how do you feel about the lack of guidance and the unknown around when you might be able to open for in-restaurant or at least outdoor seating dining?
I ain't too happy with it. You know, you got to prepare yourself for this stuff, you know. I was kind of prepared to be outdoor seating for today, but he said no. So it is giving me a little more time. I can find a little more guidelines. I do have a lot of guidelines in place ready to go. I'm working very closely with the Board of Health in my town, and they're helping me out. And I wasn't quite ready enough, so it's okay. But, you know, I wish you could give us some more guidelines, what we can and cannot do. He just didn't say anything.
Bert, one of the things that we've heard when we've spoken with other restaurant owners is there is kind of a capacity to profit margin issue. There's a certain amount you have to be allowed to do in order to make it really financially worth doing it. Do you have concern that you're going to be able to operate either outdoor seating or indoor seating when it comes at a big enough number to make it make sense for your business?
I'm just making it by what I'm doing right now. I'm doing like 30% of my business right now. I'm just getting by. Thank you. We got a lot of family and friends that are helping me to get by this. I did close for 5 weeks, and I just reopened. I've been in business for 17 years, so I am well established. A good percentage of my customers came back, so I'm just making it by. But I'm worried about come the wintertime when I only can have indoor seating. That's 3-4 months away, but that's when it's really going to make a big decision.
And, Bert, could you function if you continued to just do takeout? Can you make that work financially?
Yes, I could, because I do own my building. Like I said, I've been established for 17 years. It's not like I got high rents like a lot of the restaurants where they're renting their building. I own my building. I do have a rental property on the same property, so I'm in a fairly good position, but it's not that great.
Well, we'll be thinking about you, Bert, and I hope you'll have the go-ahead to open up with more seats in phase 2 soon. That's Bert Berard, the owner of Bert's Breakfast and Lunch in Uxbridge. Thanks for being with us.